Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
I'm not Gary.
But it is John Schreiner Day. We can't have John Schreiner Day without John Schreiner.
That would be weird.
Rolling with us.
It's John Schreiner Day. Where's John?
Yeah, where's John?
I think if it was John Schreiner Day and I wasn't here, it probably means I'm dead. So.
Oh, yeah. That got dark really fast here in an hour or two.
You're welcome.
We'll be right back.
It's still dark outside.
It is Mornings with Sharp and Hanley, John Schreiner, of course, Jimmy, myself, with you. Appreciate you being with us here. Hope you're off to a good start on your Thursday morning. And the stat to know later this hour, could give you a chance to win 300 of Gary's booty. That thing is getting thick. It is getting thick, my man.
All about the thickness.
It is. Could we get Fadonkadonk status? We got really close on Tuesday. We got to 400.
Yeah.
But 300 is what is up for grabs this hour. Listen for your cue to call. But the number to know is 9. As in, Keisei Tominaga's 22-point game last night was the 9th 20-point game by a Husker this season. Which, the reason I bring up 9, and again, know the number 9 when you are asked to call to win 300 of Gary's booty. I thought that was interesting because when I think of a team that has largely been offensively challenged, you would think, boy, 9 is, that's a lot for a team that is. But then you think about some of the teams that they played early on. Man, not so much. You've seen a couple of guys that have been candidates for that. And it's a good place to start with last night's loss to Northwestern. Huskers falling 78-63, a game that the final score, this game was just so weird to evaluate. And I'm not trying to say that Trev Alberts was looking at last night's game as the ultimate evaluation of Fred Hoiberg. I still don't think, and I'm not changing my stance. We were going over this yesterday. I was leaning towards, I think Fred is going to be safe. As long as this thing does not just bottom out. And there were moments in last night's game where it's like, oh, this is bad. But then there were moments in this game where you're like, these dudes are scrapping. And nothing to do with the fact that he is Fred's son. But you're seeing like Sam Hoiberg put in some points, put in some minutes. He had 6 points, 6 boards, played 17 minutes.
I think it was Brian Christofferson tweeted out, Sam Hoiberg was plus 11 for the game.
Yeah. Like he gave you quality minutes. And so, look, this is, I'm not inside Trev's mind. I don't know what he's looking for right now. But I said yesterday, and I was trying not to answer this in such a vague way that, you know, it leaves it completely open for interpretation or just like a lazy response. But the best way I could describe the evaluation for this Nebraska team showing signs of improvement to the point that you would want to, you know, run this back again with Fred, you know it when you see it. And if that's the case, last night was the most confusing thing ever. Because, I mean, you're watching this game, and it starts out, it's kind of fun. I mean, you've got Ty Berry and Keisei Tominaga just going back and forth. Like, it wasn't Nebraska 8, Northwestern 8. It was like Keisei 8, Berry 6. You know, I mean, and again, I'm a little critical of Keisei Tominaga because I think sometimes he just doesn't understand a situation where he takes a horrible shot. But last night, what I loved about Keisei's game is he was relentless getting to the rim.
Oh, he was attacking, man. And
that was
especially
great to see.
Early.
Yeah, it was great to see. So, I mean, he had 15 of the 22 in the first half. Without that, where's Nebraska at halftime? I don't know. I shudder to
think. Down 30.
Yeah. Northwestern goes on a 10-0 run there to end the first half. And so all of a sudden you have a game that was extremely entertaining for the first 15 minutes, and all of a sudden you're looking at that halftime deficit where Nebraska's down 13. You're thinking, yeesh, this isn't great. But then Nebraska kind of claws their way back right out of the gate, And yet Northwestern just always had the answer from that point on. So you can look at it in so many different ways, John. You can say, you know, Nebraska, they got a amazing effort that I don't know if you can expect every night from Keisei Tominaga. Without that, this game is over by the 10-minute mark in the first half. Maybe. But you also look at guys like Jamarcus Lawrence. Young players that are continuing to, I think, give you much better play than bad. Lawrence, who had his first career start last night because of Bandamel out, gave you, again, quality minutes. I was actually kind of surprised, too, because I know C.J. Wilshire, you would think, all right, has more experience, probably going to start. C.J. Wilshire remained on the bench. He did come in. But then, you know, you're seeing Sam Hoiberg and giving you some quality minutes. Like, there's something to look at there as Nebraska's trying to stay with Northwestern. I just tip my cap to Northwestern. For a team that's playing their second game in 3 days, and they've got a stretch in front of them because of what they missed with the COVID and injury situation, that team looked very fresh. Now, will they look like that at the end of the stretch? We'll see. But they had the answer. They were knocking down shots at one point. What would they have? They finished with 11 three-pointers. You know, I mean, they just always kept Nebraska at arm's length there in the second half.
Looks like a team that's going to probably make the tournament, honestly. I mean, with those two guards, with Audige and Bowie, and then if Barry's going to play like that.
Yeah, Barry was 26 last night. He was good.
I mean, he's not going to play like that every time out, but if he can be a good third piece, and then you got the 7-footer on the inside. Mm-hmm. That's a tough team in Northwestern. Yeah. That's a team that's going to make some noise in the league. I don't know how much they'll do in the tournament, but that's certainly a team that at this point, now look, they beat Nebraska, who is extremely shorthanded and wasn't really very good to begin with. But you look at how they did it. Northwestern's building a resume, I think, and they're going to have a chance down the stretch. They've got a tough stretch coming up, Northwestern does. But, look, I was impressed.
I was, too.
I thought it was a game that going in that Nebraska got a chance to win this.
Yeah.
Nebraska didn't have a chance to win against that team.
I thought with the effort and what Keisei was able to do in the first half, it just looked like, boy, they are going to be a thorn in Northwestern's side the entire game. And I was extremely impressed.
But then, like, Northwestern, yeah, Nebraska was a thorn in their side for 15 minutes. Then they just pulled away and really didn't look back. Nebraska had a 7-0 run kind of with like 5 minutes to go in the game.
Trying to make it a single-digit game at the four-minute media.
That made it, like, I don't know, semi-interesting. But did it look like Northwestern was bothered all that much?
No, and again...
They didn't care.
I think that was more of a testament to Northwestern. I'm not trying to deflect the attention of Fred Hoiberg. I'm not trying to say, like, hey, you know what? I'm saying this just because I was leaning towards, I think Fred is safe. I took more away from what Northwestern was able to do as opposed to what Nebraska's inabilities were, because you can't have this conversation about Nebraska right now without acknowledging their injury situation with Gary and Bandamel. I mean, it's a big part of it. Two of your best defenders, when you think about what Northwestern was able to do and the quality looks they had on the perimeter, are you telling me that the absence of Bandamel and Gary wouldn't at least have some type of impact there?
Sure, it would have.
Absolutely it would. Now, does that mean Nebraska wins the game? I'm not going that far. But that's a big part of this transition, this adjustment that Fred Hoiberg's going to have to make. And Nick Baugh was saying this on the broadcast when he was asked, how difficult is that to sort of rearrange your defensive identity? You know, to get other guys that have played very little minutes or other guys that have played in different roles and try to adjust and make it up for those absences of like Gary and Bandamel. And look, Boz played it. Boz experienced it. He said it's extremely difficult. And it is. So what I'm getting at is, from an evaluation standpoint, you can look at the score, you can look at the box, you can look at even the halftime deficit and be like, what are we even talking about here? That was just a bad performance. But if you watch that game from start to finish, there were positives there. Now, this is where I will, again, I'm going to refrain from putting Kayce on blast because Kayce had a great game. I loved what Kayce was doing getting to the rim. But when Kayce is igniting your offense and he's the guy, and you have a little bit more of a pedestrian night from Derek Walker, you have a pedestrian night from Sam Griesel, that's probably not the recipe for success. And look, Kayce giving you that type of production is fantastic, but you need those other two guys
to be
a bigger part of the offense than they were last night.
If Kayce's getting 22 and Griesel gets 15 and Walker gets 15, you'll take that because you feel like Kayce was getting it done because they were stopping Griesel, or they were trying to stop Griesel and Walker, and they were getting their points anyway. Northwestern was largely trapping Derek Walker in the post. He wasn't able to get many shots away. He only took 6 field goals in the game, Derek Walker. So he wasn't even getting looks, and it was forcing the ball into the hands of Tominaga, who Northwestern knew couldn't beat them by himself.
Yeah.
That was the whole, you could see it from the outset. They were going to give Kayce Tominaga anything he wanted.
Yeah.
They let him have 22 points, basically, because they said, Walker and Griesel are not going to beat us. And they executed that game plan really, really well.
Right.
14 points between the two. They executed the game plan they wanted when they came into that building. And Tominaga had a great night. 22 points, didn't matter.
There was sloppiness with the basketball in the paint. Derek Walker was a big part of that. The Griesel turnovers, too. So, I mean, it wasn't just their lack of scoring, but also just handling the basketball. That wasn't sharp. You know, so, yes, there were things that Nebraska, you know, was sloppy in moments. But a lot of this, to me, still comes back to Northwestern just playing a really good game. And so, if you're looking at, okay, big picture type topic, I don't think you're going to boil it down to a January evening where Nebraska was playing Northwestern at Pinnacle Bank Arena, where you had the students back and you had everybody kind of excited. Nebraska was only a 2.5-point dog in this one, and for a while you kind of saw why. But then Northwestern pulled away, and then everything they did, I think it's a tough evaluation as far as major conclusions that you can draw from this game. But what is a little bit more, you could either say concerning or intriguing, is how Nebraska wants to handle the bench going forward. As I mentioned, Jamarcus Lawrence started over CJ Wilshire, which I'm a Jamarcus Lawrence fan. I think he's going to be a good player. I like Denham Doss, another young player who I think that the more experience he gets, the more starts he gets, I think the more impact he can have.
I think we've also seen that CJ Wilshire, he tends to play better off the bench. He's more of that, bring him in for a short spell, let him shoot a couple from the outside, get him back to the bench. I think he's just wired that way, maybe, where he's better in short stints than trying to send him out there to start the game. There are players like that. There are guys who are just better off the bench. Yeah. They have a different mentality. The problem is Nebraska only got 9 points off the bench because Lawrence and Dawson, two guys who you're expecting to come in and provide some of that bench scoring, they got to start now. So, and look, Brian Bach's got to be better than 0-for-4. You've got to have more. You got to have something out of your post off the bench. It can't be nothing.
And kind of like, if I criticize Kayce for this, I got to be fair to make sure I dish that out to other players that do the same thing. Kayce's inability to be patient sometimes when you don't need that shot right away, you know, the 30-footer where you have a chance to cut in. It's kind of the hero ball mentality. Wilhelm did the same thing last night.
I was jamming up a 3-pointer with like 20 seconds left in the shot clock.
Yeah, the cross half court, all of a sudden, Wilhelm's launching. Like, dude, come on. Run a set, get a good look. Out of all the guys on the floor, you're probably the fourth option that should be taking that shot anyway. Like
maybe fifth.
It could be. Like, it's just, but that's been an issue. And this is where it gets confusing too, because shot selection and guys that have put up ill-advised shots, I mean, that's been sort of a staple in the Hoiberg era in Nebraska too. And it's not just one guy. We've seen guys do that where you forget about what you can get in that possession, and you just want to light the place up. You want to get the fans just absolutely into it. And they were in this game.
So to go back to what you were talking about with identity changes, I mean, when Fred came in, it was about, oh, this is going to be fun to watch. They are going to pace in space. They're going to run the floor.
Yeah.
They're going to get out in transition. Turnovers be damned. We're gonna get the ball to the basket.
You just think of some of those Iowa State teams that Fred had. Yeah. Like, oh, this is what we're going
to
see.
Well, now he doesn't have the players to do that, so they've sort of switched mentality, and they're trying to be a defense-first team.
Yeah.
And, look, it's not been bad from that respect. I think he's done a pretty good job of getting into – but he's also recruited players to that old system.
Right.
Right? He's recruited players with that – get out and run mentality, get up a shot quickly, move fast. So as Nick Boss said on the broadcast, that mentality is hard to turn off, right?
Yeah.
And in those moments when things are moving fast and you're just acting on instinct, well, the instinct for a lot of these players is to get the shot up.
Yep, match what just happened on the previous possession.
And when you're trying to be a defense-first team, you can't afford bad shots.
Like, right.
All of your looks have to be quality because you're going to have fewer of them.
Yep.
And so when you have guys, and like we talked about Casey, we talked about Breidenbach, when those guys are jacking up bad shots early in the shot clock, it's not lending itself to the way you have to play to win the game. So the mentality change, it's a work in progress. And it was always going to be. You don't turn that off. For guys who've played a certain way their entire basketball lives, and now you're asking them to be different, well, it might work, but in some of those moments, you're still going to have those lapses, and they're going to, sort of retreat to who they've always been.
It's not an easy task right now, and it won't be the rest of the way because of what Nebraska has and, unfortunately, what they don't have. But when we return, I want to get into... And I know people are probably going to roll their eyes when I say this. The realistic expectation from here on out with this lineup and the lack of depth. Because a week ago, John, if you remember, coming off the Ohio State game.
It was all positivity,
It was. But the realistic expectation, not just for the remainder of the schedule, but the big picture for this basketball program. What Trev might be thinking, what Fred might be thinking, I think, is also very important, too. What you know you have and what you know you don't have with the schedule in front of you. We will give you that. Also, listen for your cue to call Gary's Booty. Hopefully, you got that stat. As we return, it's mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.